wonderful friend. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time Big Q&A. This is a program where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion, and the Bible, and where we look at the world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. I am Nick Rita, your host, and thank you for tuning in. We are broadcasting from the beautiful city of Adelaide, and welcome to the program. I would love you to have with us today. If you can, you just need to send us a text message to 0488880811. Why not to be part of the program today? And you may have a question, you may have a thought, you may even ask some questions, because today I have a full house. And you know what? Even more, I have the boss of the Faith FM, and not only, but we have from
on our best behavior today.
Absolutely, let's how we go. Now I will see Tracy how that goes, but we have also a special guest from the States, Robert Dulai, and he's also the director of Adventist World Radio for South Pacific. Is that right, Robert?
Yes. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, listeners, our friends. Yes, I'm the regional director of the Adventist World Radio in the Asia Pacific region.
And we thank you for coming here, but we thank for all the support of Adventist World Radio, because this is also a good time to thank you, you know, but in person, because we're broadcasting on Drive Time with the support of Adventist World Radio, and we're very thankful for that.
Amen. We are just instruments.
Yes.
Just part of this great work.
And hey, we have Michael Engelbert from Melbourne. And Michael, you are the director of Faith FM Australia.
Thank you, Nick. Yes, good evening, listeners. Yes, and privileged to be with you on Drive Time today, Nick and Tracy.
But it's always good to have our regular co-host with us, Tracy Papandreou. Tracy, it's very, you know, passionate to share Jesus.
Amen.
And we are blessed to have Tracy with us pretty much every Friday, with one day off every month. And Tracy deserves that. And Tracy, you are worshiping with the Adventist Church in Adelaide, Brighton Church. And I know that something is coming up at Brighton Church. Would you like to, as I'm saying welcome, would you like to share a bit of what's going on there at Brighton?
Sure, Nick. Hi, and hi to all the listeners. Yeah, I love worshipping at Brighton, but we do have a special program that will be beginning very soon, which is called the CHIP program, which CHIP stands for Complete Health Improvement Project. And this is a 12-week program that is run. It's been run globally very successfully. It's just, I invite people to come along. We're having some information sessions. I'm just bringing up some information so I can actually make sure I say the right information about this program. And I have actually done this program myself about 20 years ago. I found it very worthwhile. So CHIP stands for Complete Health Improvement Program, is a scientifically documented community-based lifestyle medicine program that has generated over 40 published scientific papers showing a measurable impact on clinical results. Suitable for both the young and old, this paid program consists of 18 sessions over a 12-week period. So we're running a couple of information sessions this Sunday, the 7th of April, here in Adelaide at Mitchell Park Neighbourhood Centre. That will be starting at 2:30. And we're also running another information program on Tuesday, 9th of April at 7 p.m. So if you would like more information about that, you know, I saw in the program that I was in people who were diabetics, reduced their medication. We even had one lady who was scheduled to have her piles removed, a surgery she had organized. It had to be cancelled completely after she had completed the program. Her hemorrhoids, they didn't need any excision after she'd made some changes. So we've also got a special offer on. A participant can attend the course free of charge when they are accompanied by a paying participant who lives in the same household. For example, a husband and wife, you'll only pay one for the course. So if you would like extra information about this course, either come along to the information sessions, or if you would like more information about those information sessions, please contact Henry, and I'll give you his number, but he has please specified that you only text him. So this is not a number to call, just a number to text to contact Henry for further information. And the number is 0425 771 920. I might repeat that further at the end of the program, if that's okay with you, Nick,
sure.
Just so we've got a reminder in case people didn't have a pen handy at that point in time.
And anytime our listeners can send a message to 04-888-8011 and mention in a message about that, and we'll follow up with our listeners also. That's great, Tracy, because I've been myself to a CHIP program, and you know, I learned a lot of things, and you're right. I met myself people who really sort out big issues in their lives, chronic diseases. And you know, as these programs had also a saying, or how you say that, that through this program, you not only prevent but you arrest and reverse.
We do see reversal sometimes, you know, yes.
Prevent, arrest, reverse. And what a good news.
Yeah, it's very exciting when you watch people make changes and really get over difficult problems that they've struggled with for a while.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
And as I said, we are very thankful for the support of Adventist World Radio, but it's good to have with us in the studio here the director of Adventist World Radio for South Pacific, and also along with Michael from Melbourne. Robert, where are you located? Where do you live these days? Or you are more on the planes and traveling around?
Yes. I just, you know, came from Papua New Guinea.
Right.
You know, the other day, preparing this coordination for the mega clinic and the PNG for Christ evangelism to be participated by our world church leaders, our president Ted Wilson, Adventist World Radio president Dwayne McKee, and the rest of our team from Maryland, from our main headquarters. All of us will be joining this big event for the PNG for Christ, preparing this country for the second coming of Jesus.
And we'll hear a bit more about that during the program today, because I really want to hear some stories also coming from that region, Robert. And but just before we will come to that, I really like to remind our listeners that for the whole week, we are looking under this theme: what is Easter all about? Now, here in Australia, and mainly in the Western world, Easter just passed, you know, but it's very interesting. I was thinking about that because I spoke with a good friend of mine. He's an Orthodox priest, and I said, "Where is Easter for you?" And I said, "Oh, 5th of May." I said, "How come? You know, it's a month apart from." And then I was thinking that even though for the Catholic Church and most of the Protestant churches, they will celebrate it on, they said, just the other weekend. Even though some Protestant churches, they will celebrate on the 5th of May. That's very interesting. What is Easter all about? I mean, and we had some questions which we posed during this week, like, should I celebrate Easter? Is that a biblical thing? Does the Bible require me to celebrate that? Or did Jesus really exist? You know, because Easter is all about Jesus. It's not about the bunny. It's not about the chocolate egg or other things, you know. Really, if we talk about biblically about Easter, it's about Jesus. Then another good question I thought was, did Jesus really rise from the death? Because again, Easter is about the passion of Christ, the sufferings, you know, the crucifixion. But more than that, it's about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Without resurrection, what's the point of Christianity? As Apostle Paul puts it, no hope, you know, Jesus is not risen. And then the other day, again, a good question, why does the resurrection matter? I mean, just for that reason, as I said, because that's our hope in God. We are awaiting ourselves. Many of us here, we may not even see Jesus coming. We may, you know, go to sleep, to say so, and waiting for the resurrection day when Jesus will come and with a shout and his glory will resurrect all people who did good will go with Jesus. And those people who didn't receive Jesus may have a different ending. And we may learn about those things today. But a good question I thought we have for today too. Is Jesus the only way to salvation? I believe it's a good question because at least we have three monotheistic religions in the world who all praise God, you know, and they believe in salvation, but they may not believe in Jesus. And what salvation, where salvation comes from? I think that question will be really good to look at. And I'm glad that Tracy had prepared something for us on that regard. And Tracy, I may just start probably to pose that that question, you know, and let's see what we can put together, like what passages in the Bible we can look at to understand that indeed Jesus is the only way for salvation. Would you be able to take us through?
Sure. Like you, Nick, I kind of feel a little bit I love the extra time off work, but I feel a little bit disappointed when my relatives send me cute photos of the little children in our family, you know, with bunny ears and chocolates and a little handbag of a little chick and all of those things that have nothing to do with Jesus. So I'm really glad that we have the opportunity to talk about what Easter is actually about. And I'd love it if us Christians would find a new way to start talking about Easter, maybe calling it resurrection celebration or something like that, just to kind of really emphasize that it's we don't believe the same thing that that many people do. So you wanted me to give you some passages about why we claim, which some people think is quite arrogant, that we claim that Jesus is the only way to salvation. I've said this a number of times here on the program, Lord Nick, that our Lord was quite adamant about this. He himself had things to say about this. But we call ourselves Christians, and that means we are followers of Christ. So we need to mimic him and follow him in what he believed. And we also, we quote this quite a bit, Nick, we believe that what's written in scripture that we read today is actually words that we can trust in. We quote often in our program, Nick, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we're not ashamed about the fact that we are very much using the word of God today when we stake our claim on this, that Jesus is the only way to salvation. So what did he say? In John 3:16-18, this is Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, and he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And then at the Last Supper, Nick, he was speaking to his disciples and trying to make it clear to them. And he actually says in John 14:6, it quotes him saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He didn't say, "I am a way, and maybe one of the paths that you can take." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And he got even clearer when he said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." I don't think there's any way to misunderstand what he said there.
Absolutely right, Tracy. And as I mentioned a bit earlier, even just thinking about the three monotheistic religions, none of the leaders will claim what Jesus claimed, to be God,
that he was God,
to be
yeah.
the one that only through him we have salvation. And I believe this is very bold. I mean, either Jesus knew who he was, or he had some courage to say those things and to remain in history. But as we look through the study today, and my dear friend, if you miss some of the programs this week, you can always find out about the previous ones if you go on faithfm.com.au, or even better, on our app, Faith FM Australia. If you don't have that app yet on your device, why not to download it right now, and you'll be able to catch up with all the programs which you may have missed. And through the questions which we pose during the week, Tracy, we emphasize on the fact that Jesus, it's very important for us. And everything what we talked about, today we talk about, or this week about Easter, is that relevant? Should we keep Easter? But the center of all, it's our Lord Jesus Christ, because salvation comes through Jesus.
Yes,
Robert, you may have a thought on that one.
Yes, actually, Easter is a continuation of Christmas.
Mm.
You know, Christmas is all about the birth, the story about the birth, the nativity, the birth of Jesus. And Easter is the continuation of the story after Christ's birth. And Easter is all about the death, the resurrection of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So when we say Easter, when we say Christmas, it's all about God. It's all about Jesus and his saving grace for humanity.
It's not about Santa Claus or the bunny and the eggs and so on. Michael,
I don't see any problem with Christmas, with Easter. We don't have the dates, you know, from the Bible. The Bible is silent on the dates, but the spirit, you know, it's the same. It's the center is Jesus. So Christmas talks about Jesus. So when we say Christmas, let's talk about Jesus. You know, his birth, you know.
Let's claim it back.
Easter, we also claim it back, you know.
Yeah.
The merit of his death and his resurrection.
Wonderful. Because this is important, as you pointed out. We should have Easter maybe not on the 5th of May or on the 2nd of April or whatever. We should have Easter some other times.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with that, to celebrate the
When we say Easter, it's not
Jesus.
An issue of date or particular one. So when we say Easter, let's adapt, let's accept that when we say Easter, it's all about Christ, you know, resurrection.
Even though the name was Tracy just pointed out a bit earlier, you should maybe call it a bit different, because when you look at the background of Easter, Michael, I thought you had a thought also.
Yeah, I was just reflecting. Tracy shared with us before a verse from John chapter 14. And it's interesting, like she shared with us how Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." The context behind that is interesting, because this was something that Jesus shared just before he died. And he was starting to tell his disciples, "Look, I'm going to die, but I will be raised again." And they were quite concerned and worried and feeling, you know, about that. But, you know, in verse 1 of chapter 14, I love how it says, yeah, but don't let your hearts be troubled.
Mm.
You know, you believe in God, believe in me. And then he talks about, he goes on to say that once he leaves, he will also prepare a place for his disciples and for us. And so that's the context of the beautiful verse you shared before with us, Tracy. And I just love how that Jesus, he tried to prepare his disciples for what was coming. And it was hard for them because they didn't really quite understand what he was saying. They were expecting someone who would deliver them from the Romans. And, you know, and I guess it's something in our own lives. We need to really try and learn and understand what, you know, God is saying in his word and not get distracted by the current, what society or even in Christendom. Mm. Sometimes we get distracted on whatever's the current thing going on.
Or tradition.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But to, you know, really go, what has God actually said in his word? And, you know, to really, to believe it, because if the disciples could be disappointed and they were so close to him, you know, how about you and me? We need to try and stay close to our Savior.
Very good, very good. And before I come back to Tracy here, I would like my dear friend listening today, why not to join us, as I said, and maybe share your understanding, your thoughts in regard of this aspect. And I'd like to say also, don't go anywhere, because we are coming very soon to some amazing stories with which Robert will share with us in regard his work, and the second part of the program will focus a little bit more on that one. Please stay with us, don't go anywhere. But coming back to you, Tracy, yes, the Bible tells us plainly that Jesus is the way of salvation. What else?
I just want to underline, though, because some people can kind of think, well, what sort of a God is prepared to completely cut out a whole heap of people who perhaps were brought up in a home where Jesus was not part of their faith? You know, that's not a loving God. But I want to reiterate the fact that the invitation is open to everybody.
Mm.
Yes. There's no way to come to the Father except through Jesus. But the invitation to come to Jesus is open to everyone. So I just want to clarify that, because it's not about, hey, you don't know Jesus, you're dead. You know, no chance. No. The Lord has left the Holy Spirit with us here on earth. And the Holy Spirit, I believe, is looking to woo every individual to understand the beauty and the love of Jesus. And God, a God and Jesus loved us so much that Jesus, being innocent, was prepared to take on the punishment that we deserve. That's just a great love that we in this world can't get our head around, to be perfectly honest. So I just want to clarify that as much as it's exclusive, the invitation is open to everyone.
And that's what we do, this broadcast, also to share the good news. We cannot keep it for ourselves. You know, when you find a treasure, you know, usually people are trying to hide it, you know, to see nobody to know about it. But we want to share this wonderful good news with you, my dear friend listening today. And that's what I'm inviting you to come along, be part of this program, share with us. You may have questions, ask those questions, and we'll try to answer those through the Bible. But yeah, coming back to you, Tracy, we may have a few more minutes allowing for this topic. Please share.
Yeah, so just a Bible text to quote for what I was saying about the fact that God is not exclusive in the offer. Everyone is invited to come to Jesus. But people who are of other faiths, who do not believe in Jesus as their personal Savior, are called to come to Jesus. Revelation 18:4 talks about, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues.'"
Beautiful.
So very clearly people are being called out of error into the truth. And John 10:14-16 is where Jesus talked about his role. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So there's no question that he deliberately allowed himself to be sacrificed. It wasn't that, you know, the Romans got the better of him or anything like that. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. So he's talking about the fact that he knows that there are other people in other denominations at this point in time who still have to come to the understanding. He said, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Again, Matthew 7:13-14 talks about enter by the narrow gate. It's not just this big whole thing that, you know, God is good, God is love, everyone's in. It's not going to be like that, but the invitation is there for everyone. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. But the invitation is open to everyone. So also too, you know, some people kind of think, well, you know, what's going on? We hear about this Christ coming, but there is, you know, we haven't seen anything. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. It's just his amazing love, Nick. But is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I wanted to there emphasize that it's not, hey, great, I'll stick Jesus onto the end of it and everything's great. We are called to repentance. Mm. We are called to come out of our life of sin. And we can't do that without Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and surrendering our life to the Holy Spirit to do that transformation process that we can't do ourselves.
Wonderful.
So why is it only through Jesus that there is salvation? And it's because it's only Jesus who took on our sins and actually died in our place. And we know that there is a penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Some people might be wondering, well, what sin? You might call this sin. Some people kind of, if they don't know what the Bible says about it, they can kind of just come up with their their own ideas about what sin is. And but the Bible actually is prescriptive. It says, 1 John 3:4 says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. What is law? Those are the Ten Commandments and all of the precepts that are set forth by God in his word. And sin is lawless. So not living according to the laws of God is lawlessness, and that's sin. Sin's so ugly that our Lord had to die. When you actually stop and you think about it that way, you know, we might tend to go, oh, it's just a little thing. But when you think about all sin, Jesus came and had to die for, and it was so awful that the only way to remedy it was that God, his son, through the entity of his son, had to be born into this life, had to live the life that we do, but instead live it sinlessly and innocently take on our sins to pay the price. Yeah. Because God is just, and there's no way that that sin is going to go without penalty. It's important that it's penalized. It's like somebody who, let's just say somebody, their son or daughter is murdered. Now, you would feel very that justice had not been done if the perpetrator did not receive their penalty. And sin is the same. As much as we might like to make it seem like it's no big deal, I didn't kill anybody, you know, that kind of thing. Well, in God's eyes, no. When we look at the standard that we are being measured against,
And as you said, sin separates us from God.
It does.
And if you really want to have God part of your life and to lead you into eternal life, then you cannot just play with sin.
No, but I like to, especially over Easter, spend time thinking about Jesus' life and what he did for us. You know, his innocent life, putting it on the line for us, because I can't help it but be reminded of how amazing that love is. How amazing. Nick, how often is it that when somebody does the wrong thing by you, you're quite happy to just stand back and go, okay, I know that the wrong thing was done, but, you know, that's okay. You know, it's human nature that we want to defend ourselves. Hey, no, I didn't do that. That's human nature. But the nature of Jesus was he was innocent but quite happy because of love to take on everybody else's sin. You know, that's one of the things I like to do at Easter, because it just reminds me of how beautiful the love of Jesus is. And that's what we're being invited into. That's what we're being invited into. Also, too, in the parable of the wedding feast, which is in Matthew 22, 2-3 and 11-13, that gives a pretty clear picture of things. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king. So this was Jesus giving this parable, who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. And they were not willing to come. So that's like in our life, Jesus giving the invitation and people just not wanting to come to him. And it goes on, but when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And this person was speechless. And the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we're told that this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. You're only there by invitation, and you're only there if you've got the right garment on. And you've only got the right garment on if you have repented from your sin and taken on the pure garment that Christ offers to us through the sacrifice that he gave. But what about those who died before they ever got to hear the message of the good news of salvation available through Jesus? Often that's what people say to me. Yes, yes. But, you know, how about the people who never heard about Jesus? And how about people who haven't had an opportunity to hear about Jesus? Well, God is just. And we're told in Acts 17:29-31, therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked. So complete ignorance God will overlook. When you instead choose to turn away from him, that's not ignorance, that's a decision, then that's a different thing. So Paul is saying, but he now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man who he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Amen.
Amen, amen. That's a wonderful thing, Tracy, and you know, I would love to share with our listeners a wonderful book, actually, because we talk about salvation through Jesus Christ, and we talk about a Savior. Savior, four Gospels, only one story. My dear friend, why not to ask for this wonderful offer which we have for today? It's a fresh look at Jesus Christ, his ministry and his teachings. A book by Jack Blanco. Take a fresh look at Jesus Christ, his ministry and his teachings. This is the story of Jesus, the Messiah, God's beloved Son. With this simple introduction, the story unfolds, but not as you've ever read it before. This book is yours, my dear friend. You just need to send us a text message with the code SA 211. SA stands for South Australia, 211. Please send this the text message to 04-888-808-11. I'm reminding you again the code. It's SA211. It's SA211. Don't make any space in between them. Just send that message through. And on the same number, please send a question and a thought. You may come just after the break with us and maybe ask some hard questions, because we have two heavy people here today in the studio.
We've got the big guns in today, don't we, Nick?
Well, let's take a short break right now, and we'll have a song, a beautiful song by Bruce, I Go to the Rock.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Where can I go when the storms of life are threatening? Who can I turn to when the winds of sorrow blow? And is there a refuge in my time of tribulation? I go to the rock. I know he's able. I go to the rock. Oh, I go to the rock for my salvation. The stone the builders rejected, I'd run to the mountain. The mountain stands by me. When the earth all around me is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, oh, I go to the rock. Where can I go when the storms of life are threatening? Who can I turn to when the winds of sorrow blow? And is there a refuge in my time of tribulation? I go to the rock. I know he's able. I go to the rock. I go to the rock for my salvation. The stone the builders rejected, I run to the mountain. The mountain stands by me. When the earth all around me is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, oh, I go to the rock. Yeah, I go to the rock. You can go to the rock. I'll go to the rock.
Welcome back. This is Faith FM Drive Time Big Q&A with Nick Rita. And with us today in the studio here, it's Tracy Papandreou, Robert Dulai, I hope I didn't butcher that one, Robert, too much, as I'm struggling with also Michael. Michael, how do you say your name, Michael?
Look, I can't even pronounce it myself. I say Engelbrecht, but it's probably meant to be Engelbrecht or something German.
Yes.
Five generations ago.
Yes. But hey, it's good to have you with us also, in particular today. We are grateful to have Robert coming a long way, you know, to be with us here in the studio. And I'm really keen to hear a little bit of with what David is involved. Now, David, I always, even before I knew anything about Faith FM and Michael, we are pretty young, you know, in this sort of area. But Adventist World Radio, very well known all around the world. Yes. What sort of work is Adventist World Radio doing?
Adventist World Radio started 50 years, more than 50 years ago. 50 years ago.
So it started its ministry in the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Wonderful. Yes. And through this broadcast, you know, you can reach places which people wouldn't dream that the message can go. And just very briefly, tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you get involved with Adventist World Radio, and what's your dream, what's your vision?
I was a field pastor for 18 years, you know, in the island of Mindoro in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. I served the mountain areas of this island. In my first district assignment, I was assigned in the mountain areas in that region. I have to walk 16 hours, 14 hours, serving 18 churches.
Wow.
And, you know, I was complaining at first when they assigned me, because I was expecting after graduation, they would give me a decent church, you know, in the city. But I found myself, you know, in the mountain areas where there are IP, you know, indigenous people mm-hmm. residing there. Not also indigenous people, but also there are rebels, you know.
Not a safe area, yes.
Not a safe area. Mm. So even also during rainy season, you have to hike, you know, with so mud, you know, knee deep mud, you know. Mm. And they gave me a horse, you know, as my as my buddy, as my mode of transportation in that mountain. And for 7 years straight in that mountain area, I worn out 7 horses.
Wow.
You know, because of the hard, you know, terrain, difficult terrain. And then I started enjoying the work there, the ministry. So I served almost 18 years in the island, and I became the field pastor in the, you know, as a field coordinator, like a field secretary mm-hmm. in the whole island. And in 2016 December, the leadership of AWR came to Mindoro and introduced broadcasting, and they said, "We will fund, we will help you, and start broadcasting for evangelism." And I thought to myself, "Well, since you will be providing the funds, and I don't have any background in broadcasting, I thought to myself, radio would not work here." But anyway, since I
tried,
we tried. So we started doing the broadcast, and then lo and behold, you know, to make the long story short, we were flooded with so many questions. Like, you know, this drive, what's the name of this segment? Drive Time?
Drive Time, yes.
We were flooded by 200 questions, 200 calls, and eventually 2,000, you know, inquiries, 2,000. Our cell phones during that time, we were using analog phones, and that, you know, the phone can no longer accommodate those responses. And in 2017, as a result of the 3-month, you know, broadcasting in that region, more than 1,500 souls accepted Jesus as their personal Savior and Lord. So that was the start. So we continue, you know, investing, training people, mobilizing our brethren, you know, to participate in broadcasting. You know, broadcasting is just in the military, you know, warfare tactics. This is the air attack, you know. And then we combine this ministry, this media ministry, by mobilizing our ground forces. And that's our ground attack.
Great analogy.
And combining this air and the ground, you know, approaches, it garnered a lot of harvest.
Wow.
The war, you know, the sure win, you know.
Praise God.
So we praise the Lord. For the last, since 2017, more than 20,000 souls were baptized in that particular section. Not only we were baptizing, Mike, you know, local citizens, but we discovered lately that starting, you know, in 2018, I'm baptizing rebel people.
Wow.
But at first they didn't disclose their identity. Until during the time of pandemic, they have no choice, you know, but to listen to radio every day. And I'm on radio every morning and in the afternoon. So they keep listening, and then they send me a communication. Please come up here. We need to hear more. So I went up to their, you know, meet them in the jungle and give them Bible study. They came to my place. And after that, they decided to facilitate their surrender to the government. So in 2021, we hosted Evangelism and Peace Summit in the whole province. Mm-hmm. And the top leader of this group, you know, this is a five-decade war, more than five-decade war in the Philippines.
Yes.
More than 40,000 souls.
Perished,
40,000 people died because of, you know, this battle, this civil war in the Philippines, this conflict. And, you know, in 2021, they decided to surrender to the government. So they called the attention of the church. So when the top commanders returned to the government and we facilitated his surrender, the rest of the regime, you know, one by one, decided to return. And at the first mass peace summit that we conducted, around 75 of them, they didn't go direct to the military or to the government, but they want the church to facilitate. They went to our church, straight to our church.
Wow.
And we called the attention of the military, the government, and we conducted this peace summit, and they all decided to join the Seventh-day Adventists. We call them FR. You know, the FR stands for former rebels.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But eventually, we want to do away with the touch of rebels, you know. We are all rebels, you know, but we really wanted to remove that, you know, term rebel. So still, we use the term FR to identify them, but with a different meaning. So FR stands now for fully reconciled.
Wow.
They are now reconciled to their family, reconciled to the government.
Yeah.
And above all, they are reconciled to the Lord.
Praise God.
So that was the start. And in 2021, you know, Ted Wilson came to the Philippines during the height of pandemic, during the height of restrictions. The Philippine government, you know, gave us a special permit. You know, our former president, you know, he hates, you know, the white people.
Mm-hmm.
But when this engagement started with the church, so he allowed the leadership of the church to come to the Philippines without restrictions. And during that time, we were able to gather all of these FRs and their supporters. More than 700 of them joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church for baptism. So this is a transformational, you know, work that the Holy Spirit, you know, led the church in this particular region to touch the hearts of this FR, you know, to come to the Lord and return to the government. Now the government is giving them special amnesty.
Yes.
You know, special consideration since they voluntarily, you know, surrender themselves.
Yeah.
So they have given special amnesty, and the church is in charge for their spiritual nurturing.
Wonderful. And you know, the government may use for, as you said, 5 decades, lots of, you know, effort and money and so on and so forth. And you just need to call in the name of Jesus through the waves, to call to these people, to appeal to the heart. Because interesting what you just said, Robert, here. We are all rebels because we are sinners.
Yes.
You know, but God put in each one of us that desire for something better.
That's how powerful the gospel is. You know, it changes hearts of these assassins, you know, killers.
Wow.
Most of them have killed so many people. Most of them executed a lot of innocent people, you know. They burned government equipments, you know, construction equipments, trucks. And now they are coming to the Lord as a changed person, and they surrender their lives to the Lord. What a transformation. Their stories are really amazing.
Wonderful. And those are transformations that we can't do ourselves.
Yes.
You know, but those are extreme situations. Yeah. I just want to ask a question here. I'm sitting on tenterhooks. So it's really interesting because to me, listening to that story, it's almost like God gave you a bit of a test to begin with. Were you going to be strong enough to hang in there? You were saying at first you didn't really like that you'd been put in the jungle there and everything. And then, you know, once you kind of said, hey, I'm on board. Yeah, I know you've got me for a reason. He allowed you to be part of this. And I can only just imagine how exciting and fulfilling it must be to be part of that work and seeing such a dramatic change, not only in certain communities, but for your country as well.
Yes. Actually, I was complaining, you know, when they assigned me in that area. And I just realized, you know, after 18 years of serving that area, only then that I realized that the Lord is preparing this great harvest. You know, when I was there on that mountains, you know, the rebels, they are there, but, you know, I'll just ignore them, you know. The military would come to our church and ask, can we sleep, spend a night? Okay, you are welcome to use the church. And after 3 days, the rebels would come. Can we stay, you know, and sleep in the church? Okay, you are welcome. This is for everybody. But we don't have any intentional, you know, approach of engaging with them. We just ignore them. That we just let them. We are here to serve. We don't care. But the relationship, you know, slowly becomes so attached with the ministry that we are performing on that mountain region. We deliver medical services, community services, gift giving, education. We establish schools in those jungle areas, and we won their confidence. And it took us 18 years.
That's wonderful. Mm. And that's what it means to broadcast for salvation.
Amen.
You know, that's what we're doing, these things. You know, we're not doing because we don't have anything better to do. We are passionate about you, my dear friend. You know, I don't know your story. You may have a story to tell. As Robert is sharing with us here, I'm pretty sure that you have a story. Why not to share that? Yes. And grow this wonderful family of God. Mm-hmm. Michael, I'm coming to you for a moment here because Faith FM started, as I said, about 15 years ago, roughly.
Yeah, do you mind though, Nick, before you ask that question, I've just got a question for Robert as well.
Sure.
Robert, you know, you were sharing how that there was like a time where you were asking God why. And I just want to reflect on that a bit more because I imagine there's many of our listeners who might even now be going through a time in life asking God, why? Why have you got me here? What is my purpose? Mm-hmm. I know and I believe that God has a purpose for every single person that comes
to
Him.
Absolutely.
What would you say to someone who is feeling like, God, why am I here? What's my purpose? What would you say to someone like that who still doesn't know and can't see what is the purpose that they're fulfilling as they are just where God wants them to be today?
Yeah, you know, sometimes we have so many questions, you know, why these things are happening, why they're suffering, why there is death, why I'm faithful to the Lord, why I'm still, you know, experiencing troubles, you know, there are questions. But, you know, it's faith, you know, it's faith in the Lord. You keep trusting. We have to trust Him fully, and we rest our case, you know, to the Lord. You know, the during the time of pandemic, you know, the special topic that I've been sharing live on air is all about the sanctuary. Mm. It's all about the sanctuary, about, you know, God is a just God. There is this, you know, these injustices that we are experiencing, that the world seems to be unfair. Don't worry, because Jesus is in that heavenly sanctuary interceding on our behalf.
Ministry
he is
us,
taking care of our case. Our case is being handled carefully in the courts above.
Amen.
You know, that's, you know, I learned to accept, you know, the reality of this, the reality of life. We are in a journey, mm-hmm. in a Christian journey. We are all pilgrimage. We are all vagabonds. So this is not our home. So we have to rest our case to the Lord.
Oh, great.
And as Habakkuk 2, you know, 20 says, the Lord is in His holy temple. And I want to, you know, the Lord is in His holy temple, let all keep silent. You know, I paraphrase that, the Lord is in His holy temple, He is dealing our case, keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, He's sovereign.
He's sovereign. He's handling. He's not yet done with your story.
And we see just a little bit of the picture where, you know, we can't see the whole big picture.
Yes.
He can. He can see the future as well. And he's working on it based on that.
Though I enjoyed working, you know, after several months of staying on that mountain, though I started enjoying the work because I realized, well, the Lord is, you know, assigning me in this area. So I have to accept, you know, this is the decision of the leadership. Only after 18 years, I realized, well, the Lord is preparing, you know, this relationship that was built, this ministry that was built on that area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Lord is preparing. Now we are reaping.
That's powerful.
In Psalms 37, verse 7, it says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him.
Amen.
Amen for that. Wonderful.
Could I ask one more question? I don't know if we have time.
Yes, well, we may have time, but just before you ask the question, I would like to really say this to if you listen from Adelaide, and if you like to come and hear Robert speaking a bit more about these stories, why not to come to Prospect International Seventh-day Adventist Church on number 7 Belleville Street, Prospect. Tomorrow from 11 o'clock, I think, Robert, you are going to speak there at 11 o'clock, but we'll have a session also in the afternoon. We may have lunch there tomorrow. Why not to make your way to come to Prospect International Seventh-day Adventist Church on number 7, Belleville Street, Prospect. I'm pretty sure it's street or maybe road, but search for Seventh-day Adventist Church in Prospect.
And the afternoon session is at 2:30. That's correct?
Yes. Yeah. All right. One more question.
I want to add on the promotion of that. I'll be sharing more stories. What I have shared is just, you know, tip of the iceberg, you know. Yeah. There are a lot of stories behind, you know. That's the introduction, but the ripple effect of the conversion of this, you know, FR continues not only in that island of Mindoro, but extends to other islands in the Philippines.
Oh, wonderful.
I will save my question till tomorrow, Robert, and I look forward to meeting number of you listeners there as well as we.
Yes, I'm personally inviting our listeners. If you are driving, if you are at home, if you are here in Adelaide, or maybe you are somewhere here in Australia, you have time, still have time to travel here, and I would love to meet you.
Will be wonderful. But Michael, still, I may have a minute for you because I really want to say maybe in just a few words, as Faith FM started here in Australia, in that period of time when many people thought, what's radio going to achieve? Or do? What's your assessment, just in a few words, about Faith FM?
I can relate very much to what Robert was sharing. Like when I remember when we were praying and like we were asking God, in our local community, we were asking and praying, you know, what should we do next to touch people's lives? And he put the burden on our hearts to look into the possibility of radio, and it seemed very disheartening. It seemed like there was no opportunities, and then we discovered there was these little low-powered licenses, but we couldn't even get it in our town where we were in. It was only these teeny little towns, and yet we prayed, and it was like the Lord was saying, yes, you need to look into this. And, you know, that was back in 2008, and, you know, Faith FM this year is 16 years old, and we now see the Lord has made so many opportunities. And now today we are reaching 270 little broadcast sites scattered around the country.
Wow.
But the privilege of reaching about a quarter of the Australian population. And look, there's quite a lot of stories in how, God has just, you know, moved in mighty ways to allow, you know, us to be able to, just share, you know, share God's good news and what he's doing through, you know, around Australia.
And, you know, again, I like to say that to our listener that you can be part of this good family, you know, and why not to join us? We are out of time now, and thank you so much, every one of you, for coming today. And I would like to thank also our listeners who put some messages up there. And Elizabeth, it's indeed, you're right, in regard to the Easter, even though difference is there, but in some places in Eastern Europe, it's called the Passover in the translation, which is a better word.
Same in Italian.
Absolutely. But my dear friend, I'll have to leave it there now, and I'm inviting you to join us next time. We are going to talk about radical forgiveness. Is it possible? How does God forgive? Until then, may God richly bless you and have a wonderful walk in the footsteps of Jesus.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.